welcome to January's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices. We have Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hey.
And Leland Smith, our Instructional Materials Service Specialist, who is filling in for Denise, who is out.
Hello.
So, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Should acknowledge it's 2022 now, but I'm going to go back to October for a minute. In October, we celebrated our one-year anniversary of Library Chat in a fun way by inviting all of the library staff to join us by interviewing each one and asking them a few questions about books and reading. So it was so much fun, we decided to keep going throughout the year and invite our different staff members here to join us for Library Chat. And one of the things that being a guest on the podcast is you also get to pick the topic. So for the podcast, as we have always done, we're going to discuss a topic, books and podcasts, but we'll have a special guest with us. Our special guest today is library team member Jody Aldini. Jody is our Access Services Librarian. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you.
Hey, Jody.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hey.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for picking our topic. I do sometimes feel it's a little unfair that we invite you as a guest and then put all the burden of the podcast onto our guests, but it is how it goes. But so we have a couple of fun questions to start with for you. So just the first one is, tell us a bit about yourself.
That's not supposed to be the stumper question. So like, how long have you worked at the library?
That's my next question.
Never mind. Tell us about yourself.
We can do that as well. What do you do
from,
at
Jody?
The library?
Well, my name is Jody Aldini. I've lived in the Des Moines area most of my life. I left and then came back. I've worked here for 18 years. This is the third position I've had here, and this is my favorite. So I love the library.
We did too. So what topic have you chosen for us to explore and discuss today? And I wrote down what I thought your topic was, but I thought I should ask you.
Okay. Well, my favorite topic for books and even television programs is true crime. But I love the forensic side of it. So it's about forensics and how they come up with the whodunit and how they did it. And some of the techniques that they use to come up with these, you know, to find, you know, the perpetrator or whatever. It just amazes me. And it's just so fascinating.
Which we'll get into on the podcast, because this one was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, the one you picked is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Simply amazing.
It is.
So I think I'll speak for the group, but I can say that one of our favorite topics is the true crime. We did a podcast on true crime last year, but Jody added a twist to it with the forensic piece of it. So I'm excited to kind of delve into that. So we've never had a shortage of books on this topic, so I did my usual dive into our collection and lists. And I'm going to be honest, I ended up with like 8 sheets of scratch paper as I wrote down like different titles.
Yeah, you can just go on forever. It's sad, really, because I mean, true crime and you have that many books.
So what I finally did was I focused on different series, kind of that were the forensic side of fiction, and then I did grab some nonfiction. So I'll kind of run through these, but jump in with any titles and comments as I go. And I'm going to start with the list of series I had. And I did become momentarily obsessed with the main characters in these series' occupations. As I go through the series, I'll kind of point out what their occupation was listed as, either in the summary or if I knew of the book, because it was a little bit fascinating what those were. The first series I thought we should just throw out there and get out there was Jeffrey Lindsay's Dexter series, which is also a TV show, because Dexter is a blood splatter analyst and I guess a serial killer as well. So there is that series. And then I don't know if anybody watches or reads those.
No, you'd think I would, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, I read the first one, and I loved it. But this was before it was going to be a series, I think. And I never went back, but I might have to now.
And this is true story?
No.
I was going to say, whoa.
So he's like a serial killer, but a good serial killer.
Oh.
Because he only kills bad guys.
He kills bad people.
That's the difference.
Gotcha.
This is what happens when, you know, a serial killer is raised by a detective, you know?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It just kind of happens.
As being good, but also getting his bloodlust out. So.
Definitely interesting series.
The other one is Kathy Reich's Temperance Brennan series. So you might also know it as Bones, the TV show. I like those and the TV show, those books and the TV, and she's a forensic anthropologist.
How many books are in that series?
A lot.
I was going to say, because the show's been going on for, it was on forever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was on regular TV, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention to how many books. Another one is Tess Gerritsen's Rizzoli and Isles.
Love that series.
Also a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Never watched the TV show, but I love that series.
And that medical examiner, is that occupation? Patricia Cornwell's Kay Scarpetta series, another medical examiner. Mm-hmm. Iris Johansson's Eve Duncan series, who's a forensic sculptor.
Oh.
Robin Burrell's Sydney Fitzpatrick series, forensic artist. Kendra Elliott's Bone Secret series, forensic odontologist, so we just looked up teeth, and a forensic nurse are those main characters. Jefferson Bass's Body Farm and Boneyard series, so two separate series, again a forensic anthropologist. Eli Griffith's Rue Galloway series, forensic anthropologist, so a lot of anthropologists. Elaine Ferguson's Cameron Mahoney. This is a YA series, and it's actually a teenager who helps her dad, who's a coroner. So we have a coroner. And Carrie Maniscalco's Audrey Rose YA series. Okay, I read the first one of this and loved it. But so it's set in Victorian-era London. Teen's the main character. She is kind of high society, but has a secret life where she is studying to practice forensic medicine. In the first book, she ends up involved in investigating Jack the Ripper. So it was good.
Sounds good.
It was good. Robin Cook series, Jack Stapleton and Laurie Montgomery, they're forensic pathologists. Karen Slaughter's Sarah Linton series, medical examiner. Karen Robard's Charlotte Stone series, criminal pathology expert. Meg Gardner's Joe Beckett series, forensic psychiatrist. Ariana Franklin's Adelia Aguilar series, and this is a medical student with forensic knowledge set in 1171.
Wow.
Elizabeth George's Inspector Thomas Lindley series, forensic scientist. And then Jody also sent me some titles, but Anne Rule's Crime Files series, so not fiction. True.
Yeah, those are true. Yeah.
And I had down, Jody, your favorites was The Stranger Beside Me and Small Sacrifices.
Yeah, that was a couple of them. Some of them I could not remember the name, and then I couldn't find him as I was looking through them, but there's so many.
So those are the series I grabbed. There's more out there.
Just a few more?
Just a few more. I ran out of scratch paper, so... That's where I was at. So I've read some of these and popped into some. I can honestly say there isn't one that I've read all of. I don't know about anybody. Any other series I missed?
I haven't read any of those. I need to step up my forensic reading, I think.
Tess Gerritsen. Tess Gerritsen, that series. Rizzoli and Isles, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched the show?
I have not. Matter of fact, I had that one book. I can't think of the name of the book. I still have the book because I got it from the library, but my dog ripped out the back pages and I had to order a new one to replace the library's.
It even happens to librarians. And some nonfiction, again, absolutely just a few. There's one, 18 Tiny Deaths, The Untold Story of Francis Glessner Lee and the the Invention of Modern Forensics. So this is just a Chicago-born socialite, Francis Glessner Lee, 1878 to 1962, and her work with dollhouse-scale dioramas to create 18 scenes used by generations of criminal investigators for training.
Dioramas. I'm sorry, couldn't they come up with a different name?
So I am going to go back for a second to the series. I was impressed by the number of the main characters are female. Mm-hmm. And then as I looked at the nonfiction, the number of females who are involved in like Francis here, who helped with criminal investigators who were part of that. I just thought that was kind of intriguing.
Yeah, that's cool.
The other one, Blood, Bullets, and Bones, the story of forensic science from Sherlock Holmes to DNA. So just an overview of the history of modern forensic science. So first poison tests in the 1700s to the rise of criminal profiling, fingerprinting, blood splatter, and firearm analysis. Another one I grabbed was The Cadaver King and the Country Dentist, a true story of injustice in American South. And this one was, after 2 3-year-old girls were raped and murdered in rural Mississippi, the criminal justice system convicted 2 innocent men. So Kennedy Brewer and LaVon Brooks, they spent a combined 30 years in prison before being exonerated in 2008. So it recounts the story of how this failure was allowed to happen and just kind of the piece of how kind of that forensic piece failed, but then did exonerate them. So the other one was The Dead of Winter, how battlefield investigators, World War II veterans, and forensic scientists solved the mystery of the Bulge's lost soldiers. So looks at the efforts of a volunteer team to locate, identify, and recover the remains of U.S. soldiers killed in the Battle of the Bulge, Germany's last ditch offensive against Allied forces in Belgium in 1944. So it just describes the excavations in the 1980s and 90s and how they put names to the soldiers. And then there's The Poisoner's Handbook, Murder and the Birth of Forensic Medicine in the Jazz Age in New York. So looking at poisons. And then another one I grabbed because I found this fascinating, kind of like the teeth one. This is Weather in the Courtroom, Memoirs from a Career in Forensic Meteorology.
And that was one, yeah, I didn't know about till we started talking about it before the podcast. I'd never heard of that one. So
yeah, that's a new one for me as well.
Well, I bet that probably does come in handy if, you know, if they're looking for clues out in, you know, outside. They got to, you know, on around this time, what was the weather like? Which way was the wind blowing? Because, you know, mm-hmm. evidence can blow.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Very true.
Perhaps rain or snow or cold would impact it.
Yeah.
Because it's the former director of the National Climatic Data Center with NOAA. Just details the development of the use of meteorological data as a forensic science. So who knew? Teeth and blood splatter and weather. Mm-hmm. There was another one I didn't grab. It was actually a children's book, but it was around environmental science forensics.
Oh.
Climate. Hmm. So.
Nice.
So. Any other books?
I like the In Cold Blood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kind of classic one.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I feel like I talk about Eric Larson in every episode that we talk about nonfiction.
He's Devil, good, though.
Devil yeah. in the White City yeah. is such a... Yeah.
Great book.
Now, when I reread it the next time, I kind of skimmed through the World Fair pages and just got to the H.H. Holmes pages a few times, like skip the chapters here and there about, yeah, the World's Fair is not going right. Okay, yeah. Back to Serial Killer. All right, here we go. But then the other one I could think of is Mindhunters, which is, it's a Netflix show, but it's written by the guy that sort of came up with how they... created the system to figure out who serial killers were and why they did what they did yeah. by interviewing serial killers that were in prison. So it was back in the 70s. It's a graphic read, I warn you. It's very graphic if you get into it, but it's good.
And I'll throw in there, I was talking to Jody, if we're just kind of along investigations and murder, we have the Drake Diner murders, mm-hmm. which is kind of local.
You know what's funny about that? I mean, there's nothing funny about that book. I'm sorry, that didn't come out right. I actually went to school with one of the victims, the Burnett.
Oh, my God. Guy.
But going through that, when they talked to that white kid, they also brought up another name that was my brother's friend. Okay. I'm like, holy buckets. And I'm like calling, Dave, did you hear that? Did you read that book? It's got his name in it, you know, Donnie Faber. So I don't know what he had to do with it, but who knows. But that was just kind of fascinating. I just kind of like dropped my teeth when I heard that. But yeah, it was a good book, but what a terrible situation.
And just as somebody who lived in Southwest Iowa for quite a while, I have to bring up
yep.
Morning Ran Red, so Villisca mm-hmm. Axe murders, mm-hmm. And kind of what's fascinating about that one, if you're looking at it from forensic and crime scene, is that crime scene was so
walk through.
So basically, it was they just let like townspeople or whoever looky loose walk through the crime scene.
Sheriff showed up hammered. He was drunk, wasn't he, when he showed up as the first guy to look through it? Like it was what not to do.
Yeah, it is. So and it's just it's a good story of what the town went through and
yeah.
And the other one is In Broad Daylight, mm-hmm. And that one is. Kind of the town bully was shot town square middle of the day, and I don't to this day.
I never solved it. I don't think. Yeah. Oh, and was that Missouri or Iowa?
Missouri.
But it was like in that western, yeah. like northwestern part of Missouri, like right around Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
So just another curious, you know, crime investigation, and maybe the ones that don't get solved. Book thoughts. Okay. So that kind of leads us into the podcast that Jody picked for us. So it was Forensics Files podcast. And I'm going to read the little summary. It's a true crime podcast that features segments from classic episodes of Forensic Files in audio format. The program features episodes of the crime program, including both true crime documentaries and in-depth investigations, reformatted for the listener on the go. So that's their subject. So just kind of what the television. So Forensic Files, the television show, their summary is a pioneer in the field of fact-based, high-tech, dramatic storytelling. The series of television programs delves into the world of forensic science, profiling intriguing crimes, accidents, and outbreaks of disease from around the world. So they took episodes from that show and turned them into podcasts, which I thought was quite... Tyler and I were just talking about that was really clever. Mm-hmm. But I have a did you know, I've been dying to share this. So sometimes I go down some rabbit holes. But Forensic Files is on HNL, which is a spinoff of CNN owned by Warner Media. But did you know that Forensic Files is the longest running forensic true crime series on television?
Really?
It's so popular to this day that it typically airs anywhere from 65 to 70 hours of reruns every week on the HNL.
Wow.
That's a
lot.
That's a lot. So I just thought I would share that.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. That's a lot of hours.
A lot of.
Yeah, music. That's a 40-hour week and overtime.
Yeah, we're talking like.
You know what I mean? If you put it in that perspective.
It's almost like 3 full days.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, because I tell you what, once you watch one, you get sucked in, and you want to watch another, and you get sucked in, and you want to watch more, you know.
And I like the podcast format of it, because there's commercials you can fast forward through.
Yes.
But also, like, you don't, like, a lot of them, you know, all those shows were actors acting out the scenes.
Exactly.
You don't really ever need that. Like, you can listen to the interviews. And
you can shorten it down.
Yeah, and they narrate it great. Like, so that's the thing, is that it just is like, this is a perfect way to listen
to these.
Kept
you guessing, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it kept me guessing. It
kept me guessing, because I...
Once they said, like, this guy was probably the guy, I was well... This sounds like the guy. Like, you never want to be like open and shut case, but this one is pretty open.
It was.
And shut.
It was, especially when they, you know, they went up in the attic and it went right to this apartment. I mean, who else could it be?
So
but
should we say spoiler alert if you're going to listen to the podcast?
Yeah, we're pretty much
we're going to destroy it and talk about it. So
maybe pause our podcast
and go listen.
And come back to ours.
So this is your spoiler warning.
Yeah. But what I found fascinating about that is the thumbprint or the fingerprint they found on the pillowcase that had been out in the weather, and the process they went through to find that fingerprint.
Yeah.
Well, and just so everybody knows, the episode we're going to discuss is called Beaten by a Hair. And just really quick synopsis. Early one morning, a woman went missing on her way to work. A strand of hair in her hairbrush led investigators to unravel the mystery. So, I thought this episode was really cool. I did have to go back a few times when they described how they investigated, because I was like, what? Because I was like, what was it, luminol? That caused the blood to glow.
Yes.
And Tyler was just like, yeah, that's a thing. But I was like, I didn't know that was a thing.
It was black light. It was black light.
Well, when you said black light, I was like, oh, okay, I know what that is. Yeah.
But yeah, because then, when the big reveal was the hair from the brush matched the wig that the guy wore leaving the house.
Yeah.
Which I found to be like, but not only could they tell that it was a wig hair, that they could match it to the same wig and say dye. That the dye even came from the same batch of wigs.
Yeah.
And remember, this is in the 90s. This is before, like...
Who knew that wig dye was proprietary and there would be a database?
Yeah, it's just like there's literally like a database of wig hair dye.
I can't imagine that the patience and manpower hours that it takes to solve one of these cases. Like, I would not have the patience. I'd be like, I don't know, I'm done. I don't know, I'm done.
Yeah, frustration would set in, right?
Not to mention, as you're working on a case, spending the time on it, there's other cases coming in.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, like, how do you divide up the manpower in order to keep cases going and not neglect others?
Following every lead that comes in.
Yeah.
To try to get
to the point where you're looking into wig dyes. Like, that's just crazy to think about.
Wig dye databases.
Putting together a skull piece by piece or a skull, you know.
Yeah.
Even those things, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was, yes. I was just like, so, and, you know, in the end, it was this hair, one hair from a wig, not even real hair.
Yeah.
And a thumbprint.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
You know, I think they still would have caught him.
Oh, sure.
I think he pled guilty, though, to because of the wig and those things.
Yeah, that's
true.
Because, like, they had his credit card statement of him buying duct tape and all your standard bad guy things.
But was it the call that came in that said he got through there through the attic? Would they have looked up there? They had to wait for that phone call before they even looked.
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, he would have. I think he still would have caught it. He had motive. He was angry. You know, like all the things that went along with it. But I think it's nuts. I think, you know what? But the thing is about the wig hair, like, that how many times is something like that missed at a case? Like, when they're on the scene.
Because you'd have to go through every hair.
I mean, they literally took, like, eight of... I think they just said they took, like, 8 hairs out of it.
Oh, was that one they did?
One of them was weird. Yeah. And like, so basically, like, they got lucky that they grabbed... I mean, it's going to be on top. It's not going to be buried in it if you just used it quick to... But at the same time, like, that hair doesn't fall out or, like, you know, they don't... It falls on the ground and they don't see it. Like, those little things.
And as somebody... I read a lot of mysteries, and murder mysteries, and I'm just like, so he killed someone and then took a minute... to brush his hair.
Because he had to look like her to leave the house.
Right, he had to fix his... But I thought, you know, that's all it takes. I mean, if you're going to plan the perfect murder, boy,
you better
really plan it.
Think it all.
Well, and I was telling Sarah, like, literally today they could be like, grab the guy's phone or grab the girl's phone and be like, she never left the house.
Right.
Yeah. Or they could, or be even go like, well, she went to here and here and here. And she was walking her speed from this angle to this spot to this spot was here. Like, so that's the phones make a big difference nowadays, or even like Apple Watches.
All right, they could have looked at it. Now, that's not her stride, you know, that's not how she walks.
Almost a lot of that stuff they can look at.
The amount of data that we all just produce now,
correct?
With our cell phones on us,
kind of scary, it's
quite scary.
It is, because you never know when a camera's on you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Big Brother's always looking.
I mean, Big Brother's always watching Jody.
I know. Always.
I mean, our phones do listen to us in the background. You know, like, Siri does listen, and then you go on Amazon, and all of a sudden you have a conversation about buying a board game, and all of a sudden it's being suggested to you.
You're going to get true crime now. It's going to be all true crime ads on Amazon for the next week. Till the next podcast.
So, I did... take a quick look, since it was the end of the year, I did take a quick look at what the top true crime podcasts were in 2021, so I thought I'd just throw a couple of these there, if you're interested. So we have Forensic Files, that we just reviewed.
Is that number one?
It was in there. No, it depended on which list you looked at, but these were the ones that came up on repeated lists. So there's one called Case File, offers extensive insight into several cases while also dealing with sensitive subjects. I just grabbed summaries, so I guess take home what they have. There's Crime Junkie. The team brings you in-depth crime stories they've been obsessing over each Monday. My Favorite Murder, with Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark, is part true crime, part comedy. There's They Walk Among Us. It's UK true crime. So from the sinister to the surreal, award-winning podcast, They Walk Among Us covers a broad range of cases. And then this one was on, maybe not as often, but I liked it. So I guess I'll declare it. But it's called Firebug, and it takes a look at an intriguing tale of arson, arsonists, and the hunger for flame and fame. So as the series of fires is set in the U.S. West Coast in the 80s and 90s, a manuscript lands on the desk of publishers purporting to be work of fiction, but with details that closely mirror those of real crimes. So it's a dramatization of current events, or is it a dramatization of current events or a confession? And so I thought I'd sent their crimes as fiction to an editor who, anyway, all sorts of questions about that. So I don't know if there's any. I know we've done the true crime pieces before. I don't know if there's any other ones you guys have listened to or.
So it's a Netflix show. It's a three-parter that you could listen to, Murder Amongst the Mormons, and it is crazy. It is one of the craziest true crime stories I've heard in a long time. So it's basically about like the selling and trading of Mormon religious documents and like the guys that are involved with that, and then one day like these bombs like kill people that were involved with this, and it was all around this like one guy that sort of took on this like, or was just like a big deal in the trading world of Mormon documents. It's crazy. It's a nut job of a story.
You're kind of nuts like Scientologist.
It's a very intriguing story.
And of course, it's all because of one guy.
It was.
One guy.
It takes one guy. It was pretty nuts. So,
So, I know when we are talking about books and podcasts, obviously we also, TV gets submerged in there. So I couldn't not mention Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. I cannot. Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. When we started watching, I'm like, gosh, that could be like us. Because there's a suspicious death in their apartment building, the Arconia, and the three neighbors decide to start their own podcast, which is them covering, basically walking them through how they've taken upon themselves to investigate the murder that happened in their building, which the police ruled at first a suicide, and they decided that it was a murder, so they started investigating. So it's like they're, and none of them are like police or investigators.
There's the podcast you can download.
Yes.
With it, yes. So it's a show and a podcast.
Yes.
Combined.
Wow. So we need to find a mystery, and then we can
have our own.
I mean, mysteries of, let's see, we got the, in this building, you got the old can, the World War II cans of meat. We got that mystery. That's a good one.
We could always become ghost hunters.
Ghost hunters. We could definitely do a ghost hunter show.
I mean, there was one that spied in my office earlier this week. So, just saying. Wow. It wasn't me.
Was it a cold spot?
Well, no. So, Jerry all of a sudden was like, I don't want to freak anyone out, but I just saw something in your office. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just caught my eye, just saw a figure just standing there. I'm like, huh.
Guys.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
What? I think next Halloween we do a Halloween spectacular and we shoot it in the stacks with a Ouija board or something.
I was like,
so, you know, I have ghost hunting.
That's right, you got the equipment.
Yes.
If we want to do it.
Yeah, we should do it.
We should.
Apparently, it's not the first shadowy figure he's seen just lurking around.
Oh, no. Was
he like a medium?
Yeah, I was going to say, so Jerry's our channeling person.
Yeah. We just got to film it.
Is he our Teresa Caputo?
Since we're going to digress into ghosts for a minute, I did not tell Leslie this, but we were on Second, working with a collection on Second, and I was sitting on this, we have stairs that are actually open, like, behind us, and I had my laptop, and they were telling me book numbers to look up, and I had to move because something was just staring a hole into my back. And I sat there for a while, and I'm like, I don't even want to turn around. I do not want to know what's under these stairs behind me.
At you?
So I looked. There wasn't anything there, but I decided, I think I told them I just needed to stand up.
I'm glad you didn't say
that. But I knew if I said anything to Leslie, she would have left.
Leslie would have just quit for the day. She'd have gone home.
And that's not my first
encounter.
No.
I haven't had anything close to that yet.
You haven't either.
I get like creepy feelings, but I listen to all your guys' stories all the time, and then I just get creepy feelings because I'm alone in the stacks.
Sometimes when I'm in the stacks, I feel like I'll hear other footsteps. But I think, well, maybe they're just my footsteps echoing. I don't know.
I've never felt, like, concerned, except maybe borderline that day.
And you weren't even alone.
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Leslie and Angie.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had any of that, even, you know, doing rounds on the weekends.
Yeah, you live in the building, Jody, and you've worked here for 18 years. You got no good ghost stories?
No.
It's probably okay. It's okay.
All right, step up your game here for Joey.
So I think maybe we mark that October.
I think so.
We better do something. We've got an EMF reader.
Yeah, we could just do it in the stacks.
Do an overnight stack.
I don't know if we got to go that far.
We're going to do this.
We're staying overnight. Is that what just happened? No.
Overnight in the stacks.
We have our recorder.
We can all pick our own little team.
Yeah,
and it will all be very scientific.
Yes.
Obviously.
Forensics.
Forensic ghost hunting.
There you go.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so back to true crime.
Back to true crime.
Except I do have to pause, totally off topic, but we kind of do this every podcast. So, Tyler, Salem's Lot, how's it going?
I'm definitely going to finish it this weekend. I've gotten, like, most of the way through it now. I just got to, it's starting to really build up now. So I just got to...
So Kid at the Window?
Yes, Kid at the Window. It's very terrifying.
Yes,
terrifying. Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't,
I'm so glad you got to that part.
I already know I don't like horror films and horror movies, but now, like, you can put horror books in this category. Like, it's just...
So, Joey, we, I don't know how long, we kept telling Tyler I need to read Salem's Lot.
I've had this book for, like, 4 months now, trying to get through it.
I think it,
like,
was part of our October.
It had to have been.
Yeah,
our Halloween, and,
That's a Stephen King, right?
Yeah. So we check in each podcast to see how...
I've
been waiting for him to get to the Kid in the Window. That one stuck with me. I couldn't look at it. I was, like, afraid to open curtains sometimes.
As someone who goes to the state of Maine fairly regularly, too, like, I have family from there and everything, so, like, I really paint a picture of what this town looks like and, like, what these houses look like that makes it even worse, I think. Like,
next time you go, you're going to say, oh, that's...
There it is! There it is!
But I think that's the whole trouble with it, is you start to think this could happen.
Yeah.
And no one would know.
Yeah.
They could all be vampires.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I've had that thought once or twice.
Okay, so we'll go back to truth. Now that we've covered ghosts and vampires.
Yep.
I'll circle back to truth. To forensics and true crime. Anybody have any last thoughts?
One of my favorite, other than Forensic Files on television, I tried to find a podcast, but you guys, you know, you ganged up on me so quickly I didn't have time. But, is on Investigation Discovery is Homicide Hunter, Lieutenant Joe Kenda. He talks about all these cases that he'd worked on when he was a detective, and some of the things that they've done because you think, you know, there's no trace of this, that, and the other thing, and then, but somehow they wind up, you know, finding fingerprints in the most oddest places, you know, like on fabric, or, you know, or if they can't get it off of something, they put it in this case, and they put some super glue in there, they light the super glue and the smoke, whatever, and then you could pull off a thumbprint or something that's just as amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's another one I like. Plus, he's pretty comical. He's pretty dry, but he's pretty funny.
Oh, that's good. That's right up our alley. So here.
We don't like humor.
Yeah.
We keep everything nice and serious here. Now, I want to find a series of all these different forensics of a forensic librarian. I'm sure it's out there. Somewhere.
Probably is.
Somewhere.
I think we just are. Forensic. Whatever we need to be.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever the case is.
Because when somebody calls and says,
yep,
I'd like to read this book I read when I was 12.
I don't know.
And it had a female character who lived on a farm.
But I don't know the name or the author.
We do our forensics, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there we go. Now our listeners know that, you know, a forensic librarian is just a normal librarian.
Yep. Okay. Any final thoughts? Okay. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today for our January 2022 Library Chat episode. Thank you, Jody, for being our special guest and sharing your topic with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jody.
If you missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast along with a book list is available on our library blog, iowalibrary.blog. And you can also find episodes from our other library podcasts, Library News and Braille Bits, on the library blog as well. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Take care.